This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, reunion week in WWE with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and The Shield. So Jake, every so often, a week seems to come along that demands a theme. And the theme this week, I think you should gift us with your song rendition of the song that goes like reuniting and it feels so good.
Well, I do not have much of a singing voice, but if you can imagine somebody trying to hack that out with a cold, that's kind of what I'd sound like right now.
I think that would be delightful. Maybe we could imagine a montage of The Shield and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens hugging over that. It'd be beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, if we wouldn't get pulled due to music licensing issues, we could just play the whole darn tune right now.
Yeah. Sadly, Jason would probably just not put it up, and then he'd listen to this alone, and that'd be even more awkward.
For him, certainly, yeah.
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 So, we're talking about the big reunions in WWE this week, and I almost, at the end of Hell in a Cell, I almost felt like I needed a therapy session. Like, I'm watching that match, and people who listen to me talk a lot know this. Jake, I love Shane McMahon, and I love Kevin Owens, and I truly love Sami Zayn. And the end of that match was... it was an emotional roller coaster. I felt like I had been thrown off of a hell in a cell of emotion.
Well, that's some nifty camera work at the end of that match too.
Kevin Dunn was brilliant for once.
Yeah, and then he went right back into the toilet on Monday with the spastic camera cuts during the Shield beatdowns. I don't really understand that man, but I thought the camera work to kind of show Sami Zayn peeking around past the one standing announce table at that point was brilliant stuff, and it really didn't look like there was much time in between Sami pulling Owens out of the way and Shane hitting the table. They really timed that extremely well, so it looked great. So everything came off really well on Sunday night. I was impressed with how that all kind of looked in retrospect.
The replays of that were kind of amazing because you see Shane kind of start to step off or like start falling, and then Sammy's there grabbing Kevin. And I would say the only thing I thought was even slightly mistimed was Kevin leaning up a little bit when he knew Sami was coming for him. Like, you could see that, but it wasn't even like terrible, because really, if no one had been there to pull him, it just would have looked like a guy trying and failing to get up. And I don't think that's bad selling in any way. So, yeah, that whole finish and then what we saw on Tuesday night on SmackDown, I thought was really good. I spent a day a little bit nervous and doubting but excited about heel Sami Zayn, and now I want more heel Sami Zayn. I think heel Sami Zayn is where it's at.
Yeah, I was surprised they went with the most sort of straightforward logic for that. I was expecting something a bit more convoluted, which is sort of a WWE trademark with these, you know, shades of gray type stories that they like to tell these days. But they kept it fairly grounded. You know, his reasoning was sound. He felt slighted. He saw the light, as it were, when it comes to, you know, what Kevin Owens had been saying about how to get results and how to take advantage of opportunity. And I think it made sense in the context of, you know, his progression as a character. And it's rare, you know, to be honest, that WWE manages to do that. Normally you have guys go out there and explain their reasoning, and it only makes sense in the vaguest of terms. But I think they really laid out a decent case for why Sami would do what he did. And I'm happy that they were able to do that, because it could have been a lot worse, to be honest. We've seen a lot worse.
Yeah, and when you look at what we were talking about a couple weeks ago with Sami Zayn having that really brilliant pure babyface promo on SmackDown where he said, you know, I'm going to look back and see that I did it my way. it's interesting that they set that up as kind of the core of his character. We talked about it as a mission statement in a way, and kind of turned around then and said he gave up on that. Like, you saw him get disillusioned with Shane McMahon, with the company, kind of you saw that frustration boil over. And I kind of applaud them on the way that they told that story through as a through line in this Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens story, because it's rare to get one good, well-told story from WWE. And I felt like the Shane and Kevin story has been logical and pretty good. Nothing has been outright bad. But then to add in these layers of Sami Zayn that originally just seemed like, well, Kevin can't have tag matches against Shane McMahon on SmackDown, so he has to do something like that seemed like filler. It suddenly filled in a bunch of pieces of the Sami Zayn character, and you get this next chapter of a Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens relationship with a lot of depth to it.
So, in Sami's mind, do you think he's a quote-unquote heel? You know, I didn't get the impression that... I think he felt 100% justified, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think the most interesting part of this ongoing story between himself and Kevin Owens is, like, in the moment, Owens embraces Zayn because clearly it's to Kevin's advantage to do so at this particular moment in time. Like, I think the core of their characters remains the same, where, you know, Sami is still the hero of his own story because he may rightly think that the company has shirked him when it comes to giving him opportunities he feels he deserves. And Owens is his longtime friend, and despite their differences, he may have felt that Shane had taken it too far by climbing to the top of the cage and attempting to drop an elbow on him after he completely had him beat, you know, moments before. And so, like, is the progression of this story going to be Owens embracing Zayn for as long as it suits him? And when Sami attempts to sort of grab some of that success for himself, it just leads to another turn? Because I think that's basically what they've laid out as a roadmap for us now.
I think so, and I think you can go a long time before that other turn if you need to and want to. You can tell a lot of story in that. And I also think there's room for, alternately, Sami going too far, Sami getting too disillusioned, Sami getting too upset, and Owens kind of, the shoe being on the other foot in a way, and Owens being the one to turn. I don't think that would be, or to become like the babyface in the story. I don't think that would be completely out of line either, especially if Sami does anything that endangers Kevin being able to provide for his family or something like that. You could see a major flip in the story that I also think would be really interesting.
Yeah, I think in either case, you know, depending on what they feel is a, you know, is a better fit for both characters. And I still think, you know, just looking over the body of their work from a career perspective, heel Sami Zayn is really interesting, but I don't know how long you can keep it interesting. This will be an interesting experiment in the sense that I think Sami has a lot of work to do to convince me that he can be sinister, because I think, you know, the way they architected the promo on Tuesday, there was enough solid points there to where I think the core of Sammy's character could still stay in touch with it. And when they have to pull away from that to make him even more delusional or to snap or go over the edge, I'm wondering how the performer Sami Zayn is going to find a way to connect with that, because I don't think they've really reached outside of his comfort zone yet. And that's where it tends to really make or break you as a performer. Can you succeed outside your comfort zone? And well, I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah, and that's an interesting question, because even thinking back to the work, a guy that seemed to look a lot like Sami Zayn, but he wore a mask, so I wouldn't know, El Generico did on the indie scene. I don't remember El Generico playing the heel all that often. I don't remember seeing El Generico really work as an antagonist or work as a sinister character. So that is a major question, because even through the Kevin Steen and El Generico feud for the year plus that it went on, you didn't see anything sinister. You saw El Generico get dark and you saw Steen get very dark, but you didn't see Generico ever have to get sinister. So that is a really good question as to if the performer that is Sami Zayn, that reminds me so much of El Generico, would be capable of it.
And I think, you know, we may find out here in the coming months, whatever's going to happen. I have to believe at this point that, I mean, whether Shane ends up being involved or not, this has to be a WrestleMania match, right? I mean, some combination of these three guys, or maybe all three of them in some way, shape, or form. I think this is where they're going. I mean, it is still, well, let's see, it's October 12th, so, or while we're recording this. So, you know, it's 6 months or so until we get to WrestleMania. So that's a long time to really flesh out this story. And I think it could be the program, you know, that narratively carries the weekly SmackDown TV show if they play it correctly.
You know what I think the Mania match is out of this?
What?
It's Kevin Owens and Triple H.
Really? That's interesting.
I think it's that. I think there's a reason that the honor of the McMahon family has been brought up so much, and it's not just so Shane McMahon could fall off of something tall, even though he is the best in the world at what he does. But I actually think that the WrestleMania match that they're building up is Owens against Triple H in, you know, in kind of one of the top six part-timer matches there at Mania.
Yeah, there's going to be at least half a dozen part-timer matches. So where does that leave Zayn then? Why put so much
focus on him? I think it leaves him cornering Kevin Owens, which depresses me as a Sami Zayn fan, but cornering Kevin Owens are in like a, you know, a multi-man ladder scramble for the IC title or something like that as one of the heels anchoring that.
Yeah, I guess it just really feels like a disappointment if you're hoping that this is the launching point for Sami Zayn. I guess it really depends on how this whole thing is.
He wasn't even on the card last year, so.
It's true. You just wonder how this whole thing will be received over the next 4 to 6 months and how that may influence things changing from that perspective. I guess we'll just have to see how they get through to Survivor Series. It may end up being a trash fire by then. I have no idea.
Well, if Jinder Mahal gets involved, you know it will be.
Yes, for sure.
Nothing can light a garbage fire faster than Jinder Mahal. If you like what we do here at ProWrestling.net and the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast, there are a couple things you could do to support us. First, leave us a review on the Apple Podcast. Give us 5 stars, tell people why you like us. Those help get our show out in front of more people. The second, become a ProWrestling.net member. You can support the site and get ad-free access to the site, access to our member-exclusive audio reviews of Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Just because you don't hear it on this podcast doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And we also have the ProWrestling.net weekly audio show where Jason Powell usually runs through the news of the week and often breaks first-run news. He does a weekly Q&A every week for members as well, and you get bonus episodes of some shows like the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. If you want to become a ProWrestling.net member, for as low as $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out for a month, or $5.50 a month if you want to take the annual option. It knocks a couple bucks off. It's pretty great. Go to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and you can be signed up in minutes. Thank you guys so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of the show. So let's talk about the other reunion this week. It was teased last week. We talked a little bit about it last week, but we saw the full-on reunion of the Shield. They all got together. They eventually changed into matching t-shirts, I assume, while talking about who they found cute backstage. Dean just won't shut up about Renee. It's really annoying. But they also did a couple triple power bombs, and we found out what their TLC match was. I thought Raw was really fun with the undercurrent of the Shield wrecking people.
Yeah, I'm a little bit thrown by the match. Are you thrown by the match at all? Like, why is Braun Strowman on the team with the numbers advantage? Like, it just seems really bizarre to me.
You know, Jason made a point that I think he made it on .NET Weekly talking to John Moore this week that I echoed. Like, the second I heard it, I was like, yeah. The Miz makes that match worse. Now, The Miz is a great performer. The Miz has reinvented himself. The Miz is awesome. But if that match were simply Braun, Cesaro, Sheamus against the Shield, that match is stronger than Miz, Braun, Cesaro, Sheamus against the Shield. Like, you toss Miz in and it's like, huh, how did that get to be less than it without Miz, when Miz is a net positive for most things?
I just think it's a matter of, like, you just want to see a big Hoss fight, you know? Like, it's just, the Miz isn't really part of those, you know? Like, he doesn't really add anything in that context. You know, if he would go out there on, you know, in on Sunday, or I guess it's not this Sunday, but the Sunday of TLC on the pre-show, and just say, you know, for the, you know, I don't want to put myself at risk. I have a child on the way. I'm withdrawing my name. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be, everybody would go, all right, that's fine. Nobody would care. You know, like, just give the guy an out. Like, he doesn't need to be in there. You know, like, yeah. It's not like he's just like this ladder match dynamo or something. He doesn't really bring much to the table. This is not
Shelton Benjamin, who was, in a very Shane McMahon way, for years in every Money in the Bank ladder match, because he was really good at flipping off of tall things. Not good at falling off of them, though. That is solely Shane McMahon's thing. But, yeah, The Miz is not the guy I want to see in that match. I'm sure they can tell a fun story around the Shield eventually getting their hands on Miz. But, man, I want to see the Shield get their hands on Roman. I want to see... or on a Braun, like, I want to see that section of the fight and see it as a little more than what we got on Monday. I think there's a lot of good in this match, and the Miz facing off against either of those, any of those three guys, really doesn't delight me the way the others do.
So did the Shield just take out the Miz next Monday and he's out of the match? Or do you think it actually ends up being a 4-on-3?
I think there might be a reason they have it as a 4-on-3, but I also kind of like the idea of The Miz just getting, you know, triple power bombed through a table, and yeah, he's not going to make it, everyone. That works for me, too.
It seems like his character would find a way to weasel his way out of it. You know, I don't think he wants to be in a TLC match, and I don't think he wants to be in a match with the Shield. I don't know. He'll probably complain about you know, being in that match and get put into an IC title match with Jason Jordan or something. I don't know. Kurt Angle will find a way to make Jordan give Jordan a title shot on the show.
Did you know Jason Jordan is gold-blooded? Have you noticed that he's hashtag the next generation of great?
Yeah, nothing is more forced than WWE hashtags. It's really sad.
Oh, man. That's always a fun one. Jason Jordan might be my favorite, like, failed thing in wrestling right now, where it's like, this just, it's weird. I don't like it.
Like, they took a talented guy and they just bolted on one of the, like, the worst gimmicks they could have. Would it have killed them to just have him be like the blue chip guy that Kurt Angle is just, you know, really excited about because of his amateur wrestling credentials? Like, does it need to be his son? Like, well, I think they just
imagine that just, mystery reveal. Kurt, I know what you've been doing. You've been out there scouting talent.
they really just shot themselves in the foot by paying off that, you know, Agatha Christie style murder mystery with Jason Jordan being Kurt Angle's son. But
Emma would have been a better Kurt Angle's son than that.
Yeah, somebody, anybody, really. I mean, it was just such a low, you know, just expectations were sort of high for some kind of crazy swerve or big return, and it just never really panned out. I think they just kind of set him off on the wrong foot, and it never got much better, or it hasn't gotten much better. It's not that he's not talented either. He clearly is, but I guess we're kind of off topic there.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm always down to bash Jason Jordan, next generation of great. So Dean, Roman, and Seth, how long do you think this lasts for? Do we go through Survivor Series with these three guys as the Shield? Sierra, Hotel, Echo, India, Lima, Delta, Shield.
I would say Survivor Series is probably a good point to end it. I mean, maybe not during that show, but, you know, shortly afterward. It's hard to, you know, cram these guys back together as, you know, when they're so successful as singles acts, you know, and the show relies on them so much. As they said on Monday, they are, you know, sort of the workhorses of Raw. You know, they're in big matches, generally speaking, you know, on every show, sometimes three, you know, individual matches. So it's I can't imagine they're going to be out there, you know, as the Shield for months on end. I think they probably want to, you know, set up the, you know, the Royal Rumble potentially as a show where the fractured Shield is out for blood against each other.
That's kind of interesting, having that as a part of the Rumble. And I wonder if it's the fractured Shield in the Rumble, or if it's the fractured Shield kind of coming out of the Rumble, if they're going to do it that way. And I know it's a little sad to talk about how they break up and fracture when they just got back together. This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, no matter how they fracture, I believe Roman Reigns will win the Royal Rumble.
That seems to be
the odds-on favorite.
He'll win the Royal Rumble, and he'll get booed doing it.
Most likely, yeah. That's the thing. Like, you'd think it would be a really great opportunity to turn Dean Ambrose heel, and maybe in their minds they would be. But if he ends up getting screwed out of, you know, some kind of Rumble opportunity because he's eliminated by Roman, the fans will just immediately get behind him like 5,000%, and it will, you know, the heel turn probably won't work as well as you'd expect.
Yep. I think the fans would easily get behind a heel Dean Ambrose, no matter how bad of a heel he was, over Roman Reigns, which is kind of your essential problem with Roman Reigns, is people don't really want to cheer for him, and WWE hasn't allowed people to do anything but cheer for him.
Well, I think his presence, you know, as a babyface has improved dramatically by having the Shield members around him. You know, like it's. I mean, I don't know if you noticed this, but
he got like massively cheered compared to what he normally was.
Well, and it really does seem like his confidence is higher with those two out there with him. I mean, he didn't have that sort of shaky promo, you know, I guess, where he was kind of forgetting lines and trailing off and not delivering with, you know, with that kind of bravado that he can get when he's at his best. He didn't have any of those shortcomings on Monday. He seemed really pumped about, you know, being out there with his Shield brothers, as it were. And I think that that's something that they have to find a way to like bottle and capture so he can carry it forward when he's back as a singles act, because it's something that's generally hit or miss when he's out there doing promos by himself.
I wonder, so would you advocate, what if Roman, say the Shield gets back together, no one turns? Seth, Dean, and Roman keep being baby faces. You leave them on Raw together. You have them do promos occasionally together. Like, they break off sometimes, but they, for the most part, appear together. They're in tag matches together. And Roman is just the guy in the main events, and Seth and Dean are the guys with the tag titles, at least through Mania. What if you did it that way? Like, didn't break up the reunited Shield, but had them together the entire time. Would that help Roman at all? I mean, both confidence-wise, do you think that would help him? And would that help fans to cheer for him knowing, well, this is Roman Reigns, the Shield guy, not forced down my throat Roman Reigns?
It may help Roman slightly. I guess I don't know how long you'd be able to keep that up. You know, there's only a certain length of time that the nostalgia sort of stays on something before, you know, the glow fades and you actually have to do something interesting with them in order to make sure that the fans keep paying attention. And I don't think that's all the way until Mania. So they would have to try to find some interesting programs or three people for them to go up against. And once you go through Strowman and Sheamus and Cesaro, who is there? You know, it's a very short list of people you'd want to see them up against.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the problem you run into is, well, then who do they wrestle? And I do not have an answer to that for you. I don't know what trios you can put together that could – combat those three legitimate main eventers in WWE, aside from the trio that is their TLC opponents minus The Miz. Are you looking forward to the TLC match? Do you think it's going to be as fun as those first Shield matches were?
I mean, it's hard to measure. I guess it's like comparing a match today from one, you know, my memory of a match from several years ago. Like, I think there's like this, you know, in the past, everything seems kind of more magical than it does in the present for some reason. And so it's tough to like do direct comparisons. But I honestly, I think the talent,
best Ryback match in history.
It was by far. Yeah. I mean, but I guess it's, I think they're going to do well enough that it'll make people excited about the possibility that we could see more of them. And I think that's a nice tease for Survivor Series, where I'm assuming the Shield is going to be involved in some kind of elimination match, you know, whether that's the Raw versus SmackDown, whatever they're going to do or whatnot. But I think it could be a nice hook for that show, and it's a good time of the year to do it.
If you're doing it as like a Raw versus SmackDown, I mean, you're telling me I could get the Shield in the ring with AJ Styles? Hell yeah. Always. Forever. Do it. Do it again. Like, I mean, do it four times.
Think about the Shield versus AJ, Shinsuke, and Orton. You know, it's a dream match, really. I mean,
except Randy Orton in dream match just feels wrong in my mind. But, you know, maybe... Well,
who do you replace him with? I mean, it's like Rusev.
Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, please, no. Like, as far away as possible. Unless that's the point of the show where they just write him off and it's like... you know, he disappeared to his home planet or something. I honestly don't know abducted. What you do with
Jin. He falls up onto the top of a precariously placed cell and he's never heard from again.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man. You know who you replace Orton with in that match? You replace Randy Orton with Shane McMahon, and it's infinitely better.
Yeah, it's like who do you
the
have?
Shield against Shane McMahon. Oh, yes.
Because like from the SmackDown side, it's like, well, you could have like, you know, if you're going to put your best five guys together, I mean, obviously the Shield, and then I guess I don't know who you fit to tag along there.
Awkwardly,
but you have
Cesaro and Sheamus, or, you know, Braun and someone. I don't know who
that,
else you put
that
there.
That could be. But yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, AJ, Nakamura, Orton, and then Owens and Zayn, basically. Like, would that be your top five?
I mean, it's an awkward combo. It's going to get weird, but Survivor Series matches are supposed to. But I'd be about that life. You're robbing yourself of all of your other possible main events there. But I guess they think, I mean, you know, you have a crappy Jinder match and you have a crappy Brock match. And I suppose Vince McMahon leaves happy at least. But
and you got to have the women's divisions battle with each other. And
yeah,
the cruiserweights will have like 15 guys in a match. And
oh, so many flips.
So many. Yeah.
That I still think Shane McMahon should really be in that SmackDown top five, though.
How long do you think he's written off for? I mean, they made a big spectacle out of the taking him to a local medical center for, like, I don't know, like in fractured ribs and, you know, a broken heart and everything else that he had.
He lost his smile somehow as he fell. It got really weird. I think he's probably off for 4 months. I could see him back like in January or February. But I honestly could also see a Team Owens versus Team Shane McMahon Survivor Series match too. Like, I don't know how long they keep him off for or what they do there. But back to the Shield. I think it'll be fun. I hope it is as exciting, as dynamic as kind of those first matches are. And I should probably go back and set some realistic expectations by watching those first matches, because I also remember going into that first one, especially going, they're going to screw this up. They're going to screw this up. They're going to put Brian Kane and Ryback over. They shouldn't, but they're going to screw it up. Like, being so nervous about that going into it, that when they didn't, there was euphoria. Like, when they didn't ruin it on night one, I was so happy.
Yeah, I mean, I was in person, and Jason and I have talked about this more than once over the years, but we saw the Shield and the Wyatts match, you know, at Elimination Chamber in the house. I mean, it was fantastic. So I have lot of fond memories of those, you know, of those three in six man tags. And so I'm hopeful, you know, I think Braun has been an absolute force, you know, and Sheamus and Cesaro can go with the best of them whenever Cesaro doesn't bust his mouth.
And even when he does.
Yeah, and technically, yes, he put on a great match even when he did. But it just seems like there's the right mix of just raw talent and guys that work stiff. I mean, a TLC match with these guys could just be brutal. So I'm looking forward to the match itself. I think the Shield reunion was sort of built for, you know, at least those three guys. I think the Miz is sort of a weird sort of bolt on to this whole thing, but I think they sort of worked the reunion together, you know, with him being sort of the catalyst. So they couldn't exactly run away from it, but I'm still hopeful that he'll find a way to bow out somehow, just because I think it would just be a great heel thing to do.
So finally, Jake, what's making you happy in wrestling this week?
Quite a bit. I mean, I thought this week's television was great overall. You know, there were a few down moments, but it seems, at least to me, that there's two hot programs in WWE at this point that, you know, they haven't managed to screw any of them up yet. And so I will say that they, you know, there's a budding optimism about those, about both shows having a program that can carry the entire thing.
I'm definitely optimistic there. I want to give a shout out on the happiness scale to the Usos and the New Day in that Hell in a Cell match, because that was fire. Like that was such a fun and good match from those two teams, and it really played into who those characters are and what they do best, and
really innovative too. Yeah. Like they really pushed the concept. You know, they couldn't make it a, you know, just a bloody spectacle, and it was the first time that we'd seen, you know, really high quality tag teams. I mean, there have been tag versions of Hell in a Cell, but it's usually been, you know, like the McMahons involved or something. So this was a real high test, high caliber version of a tag team Hell in a Cell. It was easily my favorite match on the show by far.
I mean, it was my favorite non Shane McMahon match on the show for sure. And also making me happy, New Japan is back, like actually back doing shows. It felt like a long layoff post G1, and the Destruction shows, a lot of them just weren't. It was a couple of G1 rematches, but nothing all that dynamic. But the King of Pro Wrestling show happened over the weekend, and I honestly haven't had a chance to watch it, but I know it's something I've been looking forward to, like remembering my New Japan World login credentials and getting back into, because we are quickly speeding towards the Tokyo Dome on January 4th, and it's exciting to kind of kick back into the New Japan frame of mind.
I think Naito and Okada are going to have one of the all-time classics. It just, with the years they both had, the Dome show is going to be crazy. And Evil and Okada, you know, over this past weekend was very good. I enjoyed it.
I'm really looking forward to watching that one especially. I think that'll be great. And hey, we're getting another Ibushi and Tanahashi match soon, and I can't ask for much more from wrestling than that.
No, two of the best, really. I mean, Tanahashi is a little bit off of his peak, but he's still...
It's the hair. You know, like, once he grows it back, he'll be fine.
Yeah, his powers will return.
He is basically Samson in pro wrestling form. With that, I think we'll end the show this week. Thanks for hanging out, Jake.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.